Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. We'll be looking at verses 14 through 33 this morning. That's on page 1103 of the Pew Bibles. In this passage, the Apostle Paul, he describes his ministry to the Gentiles, and he shares about his ambition for the work of missions. I'd remind you that this is the word of God. Again, Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse 14. I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. I have written you quite boldly on some points, as if to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and miracles, through the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to see you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saints there, for Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this fruit, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there, so that by God's will, I may come to you with joy and together with you be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, would you speak this morning to your people? Give us ears to hear, and give us eyes to see, give us hearts to receive your word with faith and love, and give us hands and feet that are ready to take your truth and apply it in our lives. May you be with us now and help us as we study your word together. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Out of sight, out of mind. Have you ever heard that idiom before? It's a way of saying that if we don't see someone or something for a long period of time, we stop thinking about that person or thing. Maybe you've had that experience before. Maybe you had some good friends from high school or college, but then you moved to a different place or they moved, and over time, as you didn't see your old friends on a regular basis, you started to think less about them. Your communication with them slowly dwindled. And now today, you don't think about them much at all. The only time you think about them is when you flip through your old high school yearbooks. I know I've had this experience many times. And as missionaries in Cambodia, my wife and I continue to experience this idiom in a number of ways. Many things have become out of sight, out of mind for us. American politics has been out of sight, out of mind for us. Driving on snowy and icy roads during the winter has been out of sight, out of mind for us. Hopefully you get the point. And I believe most, if not all people, we experience the reality of this idiom. And I believe one thing that can become out of sight, out of mind for Christians in America is the work of missions. And I don't believe it's intentional. Usually it's because we're busy doing other important things. We're serving in our local church. We're ministering in our communities. We're spending time with our families. And these are all very good things to do. I am a strong advocate for prioritizing the local spheres in which God has placed us. Our homes, our church, our communities, and our country. These are the places where we spend the most time. And it is wise to devote much attention to these places. But I also don't think we should stop there, because I don't think the Bible stops there. Yes, God does tell us to seek the welfare of the communities we are in. But God also calls us to make disciples of all the nations and to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. And that doesn't mean that God calls all Christians to pack up their bags and move overseas. Not at all. But I do believe God wants us to lift up our eyes, to look beyond our local communities and to be involved in his worldwide gospel mission. And in our passage from Romans 15, we see that is what the Apostle Paul did. He had a holy ambition for the work of global missions, and he committed his life to that work. And through this passage, the Lord is also calling upon you to cultivate an ambition for and commitment to the work of global missions. And in order to understand this better, what I'd like to do this morning is consider three responsibilities, which I believe spring out of this text. And so that will be our structure for this morning. Three responsibilities, which will hopefully help you to cultivate an ambition for and commitment to the work of global missions. And the first responsibility is this: you need to remember the priority of global missions. Remember the priority of global missions. And to better understand this first point, I think it's helpful for us to consider the book of Romans as a whole. Many of you are probably somewhat familiar with the book of Romans. It's one of the best books in the Bible that is packed with wonderful theological truths about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. And there's one interesting fact about Paul's relationship with the church in Rome. And that is, when Paul wrote this letter to the Romans, he had not yet visited them in person. Okay? And we know this as early as Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 15. At the very beginning of this letter, Paul expresses his desire to visit the Romans. In verse 10, chapter 1, Paul is praying that he may be able to succeed in coming to the Romans. But that hasn't happened yet. Now, in chapter 1, Paul doesn't explain. He doesn't give us information about why he hasn't been able to visit the church in Rome yet. But if you fast forward to Romans 15, Paul provides some more details for us about why he hasn't been able to visit this church. If you look with me again at verses 19 through 22 in our passage, Paul says, "So that from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who are not told about him will see, and those who have never heard will understand." And then notice especially verse 22. Paul says, "This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you." Okay. So why has Paul been hindered from coming to the Romans? According to verse 20, it's because Paul has made it his ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, but in unreached and new places where Christ is not known. As we see in verse 23, Paul has longed to see the Romans for years. He wanted to go there. He wanted to spend time with them and encourage them and preach the gospel to them. But Paul had this overriding ambition, this one priority that took precedence over everything else, and it was to take the gospel to new and unreached places that didn't know about Jesus. That was Paul's ministry focus. And notice in verse 19, Paul says, from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. Now, the geographical area that Paul talks about in verse 19, Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, that's a very large geographical area with many different cities. So what does Paul mean when he says he has fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ there? Does that mean that everyone in that place, in those places, were Christians? And there's no more work needed in those regions? I don't think so. In fact, Paul left Timothy. He left Timothy in Ephesus. He left Titus in Crete in order to do more work in those regions. In verse 19, I think what Paul is trying to say is part of the missionary task is proclaiming the gospel in new places where Christ is not known. And because Paul has already done that, from Jerusalem to Illyricum, he's going to move on to new places where Christ is not known. That is Paul's priority, this pioneer mission work in unreached locations. And it is that priority which explains why Paul hasn't been able to visit the church in Rome yet. And this also explains why Paul only intends to have a brief visit with the Romans. I want you to look at verse 24. In verse 24, Paul is sharing his hopes, his plans to visit the church in Rome. But notice what Paul says in verse 24. He says, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there. So do you hear what Paul is saying? Paul is saying, I am planning to visit you, but don't get your hopes up. It's not going to be a long stay. I am only passing through. I'm making a quick pit stop as I travel to my final destination, which is in Spain. But why? Why doesn't Paul want to stay longer with this church in Rome that he has longed to see for many years? It's because of this ambition, this priority that Paul had for the work of missions to take the gospel to new and unreached places. And Paul is hoping that the Romans will help him to do this. And we'll look at that a little bit later. But the point for right now is for you to see this priority that consumed the Apostle Paul, this ambition he had to take the gospel to new places. And I do believe it's very important for us in the church to remember this priority that the Apostle Paul had. And I believe the Apostle Paul's priority, it ought to have an impact, an influence upon us and our churches and the ministries that we support today. Because I want you to know that across the world today, there are still many places that are unreached and do not have access to the gospel. Those who study the work of missions, they say that a people or a country is considered unreached when less than 2% of the population are evangelical Christians. So in Cambodia, for example, where we are, the estimates are that about 1% of the population are Christians. Some estimates say less than 1%. And so in Cambodia, you can drive through village after village after village where there are no churches, where there are no Christians, where some people have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. Now, this might be a little hard for us as Americans to understand because although we may be living in a post-Christian nation, the influence of Christianity upon our country is still very evident. It doesn't matter what state you travel to or what city or town you visit, you're probably going to find some church there. You'll probably find some Christians living in that area. But I want you to know it's not like that in some places around the world. It's not like that in Cambodia or in India. The estimates are approximately 2 to 3 billion people still have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have very limited access to the gospel, to churches, and to other Christians. And if there is not intentional gospel ministry started in those places, some of them may go their whole lives without ever hearing about Jesus. And so I want to ask a question to you this morning. Don't you think that reality ought to impact us here in America and the works that we support? Don't you think we should evaluate and think about how we use our time and our money and our resources to help with ministry in these places? Now, as I said earlier, I am an advocate for prioritizing the spheres that we are in, our families and our churches and our country. We need more churches in South Dakota and North Dakota and Minnesota. We need to support local works as well. But we must be careful never to allow all of these important local ministries to displace or to crowd out the importance and the priority of global missions. But it can be very easy for that to happen. Right? Out of sight, out of mind. Right? We don't see all of these unreached peoples every day. We don't see the lack of churches and the lack of Christians in these places. And so it can be easy for us to forget about the great needs overseas. It can be easy to fixate on the needs that are right around us. And so this morning, I just want to encourage and challenge you a little bit to think about your own priorities and how you can be involved not only in supporting local ministries in your family, in your community, in your church, but also to be involved in the work that God is doing overseas. This isn't a one or the other type of situation. It should be a both and type of situation. How can I be more intentional and thoughtful about the work of global missions? How can I help my children and my grandchildren to see the importance of this type of work? Now maybe you are wondering, where is the best place to start? How can I remember the priority of global missions and prevent it from becoming out of sight, out of mind? And my first suggestion to you would simply be to spend much time in God's Word. Spend much time in God's Word. Notice in verse 21, the Apostle Paul, he grounds his ministry to these unreached places in the Word of God. He quotes from the Old Testament. He connects his ministry to God's Word. And Isaiah 52 is one of many different passages that the Apostle Paul could have looked at. If you read through the Bible, you will quickly discover the Bible is a missionary book from beginning to end. And the more you read and meditate on God's Word, I am convinced you will see more and more God's heart for the nations, and you will grow in your ambition to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Now, as I've shared about this priority for missions and how many people have never heard the gospel, perhaps you are thinking, well, this is a big task, right? That there's billions of people who have never heard about Jesus. So many places without churches. How will we accomplish this work and bring the gospel to these places? And that is a good question, and that is why we need to remember that global missions is not primarily the work of men, but it is the work of God. And this is the second responsibility that we have this morning related to missions, and it is this. Second, you need to rely upon God alone for the accomplishment of global missions. Rely upon God alone for the accomplishment of missions, because the work of missions cannot be accomplished by men in their own strength, but only through the power of God. We see this in verses 16 through 19 in our passage. If you look at verse 16 with me, Paul, he begins describing his own ministry to the Gentiles. He's been called to be a minister to them. And Paul, in verse 17, he speaks about his own work for God. He's proud of his work for God. And Paul, there's a real sense in which Paul is at work. Paul was traveling. Paul is preaching the gospel. Paul is planting churches. But I want you to notice what Paul says in verses 18 and 19, because it's very important for us as we think about missions. Paul says, I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. Okay? Notice that. Who is the real one who is leading the Gentiles to obey God? It is Christ himself who is accomplishing this work through the Apostle Paul. In other words, the Apostle Paul, he is simply an instrument, a means through which Jesus Christ himself is working. Okay. And notice also, Paul emphasizes quite often the work of the Holy Spirit. In verse 16, the Holy Spirit is sanctifying the offering of the Gentiles. In verses 18 and 19, the Gentiles are brought to obedience by the power of the Spirit. So when Paul thinks about his own ministry and his own work, he realizes the main agent, the main actor, it's not himself. It is God. God is working through him. And I think, again, this ought to change, impact the way that we think and talk about missions today. We often talk about supporting this ministry or that missionary or that church planner, and I'm not saying we can't ever talk like that. Certainly we can. But we need to remember who is the primary agent in missions. It is not the missionary. It is not me. It's God. It is the Holy Spirit. It is Jesus Christ. He is the King and Lord of His church. He is the true missionary and the true church planter. And we are simply servants. We are ministers of God. And Paul realized that when he went to these different places, something much greater was happening than just a weak and frail man preaching the gospel. Christ was at work in and through him. And when we understand this, it brings a whole new light to supporting missions. You're not just giving to missionary Bob or missionary Alice. You're supporting the work that Christ is doing in and around this world. And that is why when I have the privilege of sharing about Cambodia, I love to talk about the work that God is doing in Cambodia. It's not just me or my wife or our MTW team. And it is true, we are on the ground in Cambodia and we have ministries we are involved in. But if we were the only ones at work, nothing would ever happen, right? We can't change hearts. We can't open blind eyes. We can't bring spiritual life to those who are dead. Only God can do those things. And so the secret to the advancement and accomplishment of missions is not to muster up more of our own strength. Just give more money. Just send more missionaries. Just preach more often. No, we need to rely upon God and His power. We must believe that God is at work in and around the world, in Cambodia and Japan and so on. And this ought to be an encouragement to us as well, because there are times when we may be discouraged, when we don't see fruit from the ministries that we are involved in, that we are supporting and praying for. But we remember God is at work, and we trust that He will build His church as He has promised to do in His perfect timing. Now, as we think about this missionary task and Paul's knowledge that God was at work in and through him, it's also important for us to remember Paul not only had the Spirit of Christ working in and through him, he also had brothers and sisters in Christ who were partnering with him in his work. And that brings me to the third responsibility that we as Christians have related to missions, and it is this. Third, you need to renew your participation in global missions. Renew your participation in global missions. Earlier, we looked at verses 23 and 24, where Paul tells the Romans he's planning to visit them, but it's only going to be a brief visit. He's only going to pass through. I want you to look again at verse 24 with me, because Paul says something significant to the Romans about his plans. Look at it, verse 24 again. He says, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there. Notice Paul is hoping the Romans will assist him in his journey to Spain. The verb that Paul uses here in verse 24, it's a very common verb, often connected with missionary support in the New Testament. And the point is, Paul is hoping this church in Rome will assist him, will support him as he travels to Spain for his missions work. Okay, we see again in verse 28, okay, Paul says he's going to go to Spain and he's going to visit them on the way. And the hope is that this church in Rome will help him. We know Paul's original sending church was in Antioch, but Antioch and Spain are very far apart. And so perhaps Paul is hoping this new church in Rome will function like his new headquarters, his new sending base as he travels and does ministry in Spain. And actually, many Bible scholars believe this is one of the reasons why Paul wrote the book of Romans. The book of Romans functions sort of like a missionary support letter. Paul introduces himself in chapter 1. He has been called by God to be an apostle to the nations. And throughout the letter, he has unpacked his theological beliefs, what he stands for, and he has shown forth the beauties of the gospel. And now here in chapter 15, near the end of the letter, Paul is asking for these believers in Rome to join with him, to partner with him in his ministry to Spain and to other places. He is saying, I hope you will help me. I hope you will help me as I do this ongoing ministry. Will you partner with me? Will you support my work? Now, what kind of help does Paul want from the church in Rome? He doesn't specify here in this verse. He was probably, I would think about some type of financial support for ministry expenses, but he may have needed other help as well. Maybe he needed some new clothes. Maybe he needed some encouragement or someone to repair the boat he had been traveling on. Maybe he needed a translator because some scholars believe the people in Spain spoke Latin at this time. There may have been other needs Paul was thinking about as well. We don't know for sure, but it's clear Paul is hoping this church will participate with him, help him in his ongoing ministry to Spain. And notice in verse 30, there is one type of support that Paul specifically asks for. What is it? Verse 30, Paul, he asks for prayer. He says, I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. It's very strong language used in this verse. He's urging, he's begging this church in Rome to pray for him because Paul knows he can't do this ministry by himself. His own efforts on their own will be futile apart from God. He needs the prayers of God's people. And that is why if you read through Paul's letters, so often you find Paul asking for prayer from the various churches. And do you see the partnership in this verse? Paul says, you can join with me. Join with me in my struggle by praying to God. And so, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you this morning that you don't have to pack up your bags and travel to Cambodia in order to participate in global missions. You can participate in missions right here and right now. You can be gospel partners that help others and help send others as they go on their journeys to various parts around the world. So what will you do? I want to encourage you to think through how you can use the gifts and the resources and the talents that God has given you to further the spread of the gospel around the world. Maybe that means going. Maybe that means praying. Maybe that means giving. Maybe that means caring for or supporting missionaries through the challenges they face. You see, the work of missions is something that the church must do together. Some send and some go. But everyone ought to be involved joining together in God's mission to the ends of the earth. And so, brothers and sisters, what a wonderful snapshot we have here in Romans 15. The work of global missions. The Apostle Paul here, he's filled with this holy ambition to take the gospel to new places, but he doesn't do this by himself. Right? He goes out with the help, the strength of the Spirit of God working in and through him, and he also goes out with the prayers and the partnership of God's people. And as we wrap up today, I just want to remind you about the motive behind Paul's ministry. Have you ever wondered what motivated, what constrained the Apostle Paul to do this work? This is difficult work, to take the gospel to new and unreached places where people have never known Christ. Why was Paul so filled with a holy ambition for this work? And brothers and sisters, the answer is very simple. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel. It is the good news about what Jesus Christ had done. It was the loving grace and mercy that Christ had shown to the Apostle Paul that motivated him to go forth to the ends of the earth and preach that gospel to other people. And it ought to be the same for us. What ought to motivate you and encourage you to give money and time and resources and your prayers to the cause of missions and taking the good news of Christ to the end of the world? It is the gospel. It is the love that God has shown to you in Christ that ought to compel you to go forth and to make disciples of all of the nations. And so by God's grace, may he help each of us to be involved in that work in some capacity. Let us close with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this snapshot from Romans 15. As we see, Lord, the ambition, the desire that the Apostle Paul had to take the gospel to new and unreached places. And we pray, God, for each of us now that you would help us to remember this priority of global missions. Lord, we pray that global missions would never become out of sight, out of mind for us, but that as we meditate on God's love and what Jesus has done for us, that it would fill us with a passion and ambition for the spread of the gospel around the world. And we pray, O Lord, that you would remind us that this is primarily not our work, it is your work. You have promised to build your church, and Jesus is the true missionary and church planter who is doing this work in and through us. And so help us, Lord, to rely upon you and upon you alone and not on our own strength. And Lord, we also pray that you would help us to evaluate our own lives and our own priorities. And Lord, for each of us now, help us to think of ways that we can use what you have given us in order to bless others, that we might be able to think about ways we can use the gifts you have given us to participate in this work of global missions, that we might be active and engaged in supporting the work you are doing around the world. And so we thank you, Lord. We do pray that you would bless the rest of this Lord's Day and the rest of this worship service. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask in his name, amen.